We're continuing to direct our thoughts toward the book of Romans, and we're still in Romans chapter 9, and I want to read verses 30 through 33, and then we'll try to get some thoughts that will encourage us and help us as we understand God's plans and purposes for the nation of Israel and for the Gentiles. So we want to look at Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, why, in other words, or why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed or confounded. This passage of Scripture deals with or picks up on the thought that we studied when we were looking in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, which has to do with the righteousness which is out of faith or from faith. And in this verse 30 that we, in verse 30 we deal, it deals with the Gentiles, and in verses 31 through and 32, we see that the nation of Israel did not obtain the righteousness which is of faith because they didn't seek it the right way. And in verse 33, we're reminded of the fact that God laid a stumbling stone in the path of the nation of Israel. And we know, we will know as we study on in the book of Romans, it was for the Gentiles' benefit. In fact, it was God's plan from the beginning of the ages to include the Gentiles in a heavenly inheritance. The nation of Israel was promised an earthly inheritance. And that promise is still good. And one day the nation of Israel will be raised from their graves and brought into the land, and they will possess the land from the Nile River, I believe, to the river Euphrates. I'm just thinking about, many people think it's just the land from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River. But when you think of all the years that have passed since Moses, they wouldn't fit there. And so one day, the Sinai Peninsula will blossom and be a fertile land and a place of blessing for the nation of Israel. And but anyway, this passage of Scripture that we just read this morning, it says, What shall we say then about the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, that they have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? One of the things that we discover, or you will discover, as I have discovered, there are two righteousnesses that we need to take into consideration. Paul tells us that the just shall live by faith. There is a righteousness which has to do with the law. Not the ceremonial law, but the moral law. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. There is a moral law that we need to keep if we expect to live a life pleasing God, because that's what living by faith is. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so there has to be a life, an honorable life, lived by a child of God if he expects to please God by faith. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, we see two righteousnesses. And Paul says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. What I'm persuaded Paul is saying here is, I don't want to be found in Him having mine own righteousness only. And that righteousness has to do with being obedient to the moral law. He says, I don't want to just be just. I want to be just, and I want to be living by faith when the Lord comes, so that He, because by living by faith, I'll be pleasing Him. If we do that, just if we just are just, then we are doing that which is our duty to do, and we are considered unprofitable servants. That's according to Luke. And we want to be more than just an unprofitable servant. We want to be a profitable servant. And it takes living by faith. So Paul says, I don't want to just have my own righteousness only. I want to have the righteousness which is of faith. I want to have the righteousness which comes because I please God. The righteousness which is of faith is not salvation. Salvation comes when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is what we live. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, the Lord tells His disciples whom He is teaching, He says, For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. If we're born from above, we get to see the kingdom. If our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, we will enter the kingdom. We will rule and reign with Christ. So there's a difference between the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees and the righteousness which will give us an entrance into the kingdom. It's interesting passage or parallel to this passage in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Paul is talking about himself. He says, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Paul had the righteousness of a Pharisee. Paul had the righteousness which is of faith. And what Jesus is teaching His disciples, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, that is, being just, being obedient to the moral law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so what kind of righteousness is He talking about? He's talking about the righteousness which is of faith. The righteousness which comes because we live a life that pleases God. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. Now let me finish reading this verse in Philippians 3. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, touching the law, they were blameless. In fact, Jesus commends the scribes and the Pharisees when He says, you do what they tell you to do. You don't do what they do because they're hypocrites, but you do what they tell you to do. Because the scribes and the Pharisees was telling it like it was in the law of Moses. And Zacharias and Elizabeth, they obeyed the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were just. They were obedient to the law. And so was Paul. He, as far as the righteousness of the law, he was blameless. In Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, here we see the righteousness which is of faith. But now the righteousness of God, it says without in the King James, it should be translated in addition to the law, that is the moral law, is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, or from Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, in the present tense. This justification is based upon believing in the present tense. This is not an event. This is an ongoing thing. This has to do with faithfulness on your part and my part. And that will provide us with the righteousness which is of faith. So we have Paul being, as touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. He was just. But he was also a man who lived by faith. And he sought the righteousness which is of faith. That is, by pleasing God. And again, I want to remind us that it is the just that live by faith. You cannot be unjust and please God at the same time. Now, the passage that we just read this morning in Romans 9, beginning with verse 30, talks about the Gentiles attaining to that righteousness, which is of faith. Where it says that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained righteousness. In other words, the Gentiles were not pursuing the righteousness which is of faith. The Gentiles had been left out as far as the promises of God, the covenants of God. Ephesians tells us the handicaps that the Gentiles had. And so therefore they were not seeking what was only at one time offered to the nation of Israel. And so this is why it says the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained righteousness. The word followed is a very strong word. And by the way, it is in the present tense. It's active voice. It's they are the ones that need to be doing this. It's not an event. It's a practice. And this word follow could be translated to pursue vigorously. Or as one dictionary put it, to pursue with malignity, with vengeance. Okay? And they were not pursuing the righteousness which is of faith vigorously. And the reason they weren't doing it is because it wasn't offered to them. Or they didn't know it was going to be offered to them, even though the Lord had planned it in the ages before this particular time. And notice that they have attained a righteousness. This word attained has to do, or is translated, obtained. This righteousness is not reckoned. This is obtained, or attained righteousness, and it's in the active voice. It means that the Gentiles were doing the action of the verb to attain that righteousness. And that is consistent in the time in which Paul wrote this and in the time in which we live. The way we attain righteousness is by living a life pleasing God. Now we're going to digress a little bit in our studies this morning into some things that we have covered in the past to remind us of how things were in the past and how they have changed in the present. Now, they did not pursue the righteousness, but they attained it. Even the righteousness which is of faith. And this righteousness is by means of continuing to please God. Because that's what faith is all about, is pleasing God. And by the way, faith is not a verb. And so therefore faith is not an event. It's an ongoing lifestyle. In Romans chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "But to him that worketh not," and by the way, the word "worketh" is in the middle voice, And being in the middle voice, it means for himself. In the words, to him that worketh not for himself, in the words, but worketh for the Lord, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Notice that it's his faith that is reckoned for righteousness. This passage of Scripture in Romans 4 is dealing with Abraham. Abraham lived in the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, faith had not been revealed. Faith was not revealed until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Even though the word faith is found a couple of times in the Old Testament, it's not the same faith that we're talking about today. And so therefore, when we think about faith in the Old Testament, because it was not revealed, and it was not available to the Old Testament saints, and we'll find out, we'll find out why that's true in the next verse down, and then we'll come back up to verse 5. In Galatians 3:23, it says, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterward be revealed. In other words, before faith could come, or until faith came, we were closed up or locked into that which pertains to the law. Now, when was the law dealt with? It was dealt with when Jesus, or on the cross. What happened on the cross? The ceremonial law was nailed to the cross. And when the ceremonial law was nailed to the cross, then it made it possible for faith to be revealed. Until that ceremonial law was dealt with, we were locked up in the law and faith was not revealed. In fact, faith did not even become active until Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You find that in 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. When did faith become operative? When did faith begin to work? When Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so that's the reason why when you read about faith being reckoned to the Old Testament saints, it's because Jesus Christ was not yet risen from the dead. That's one thing. Secondly, there was a class of people under the law, under Moses, that were under the law, and they were locked out of faith. And of course, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they didn't have the law. And so it spoke of a different group of people, but Jesus Christ was not yet risen. And so therefore, faith was reckoned to Abraham. Of course, it doesn't deal with that in Romans chapter 4, Isaac and Jacob. That's over in Hebrews 11. But let's go on. In Romans chapter 4, verse 5, it says, but to him that worketh not for himself, or worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. And notice the word reckoneth, or reckoned, is in the present tense. It's an ongoing thing. It's not an event. Faith is not an event, beloved. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is not an event. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, that's an event. Faith is not an event. Doesn't have voice, doesn't have tense, doesn't have mood. So faith, if you're using faith to be saved by, you don't know whether you are saved or not. Because you don't know whether you've actively done it, because there's no action in the verb or in the word or the noun faith, and there's no mood. You don't know whether it's taken place or not. But believe, you do, because it has tense, and it has voice, and it has mood. So, faith is reckoned to Abraham. Why? Because faith wasn't available. It wasn't revealed. Now, in Romans chapter 4, in verse 6, it says that righteousness was reckoned. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Okay? Not only was faith reckoned, but righteousness is reckoned. Now notice that there is no word faith associated with this righteousness in this verse, nor in the verses that follow. This righteousness has to do with the righteousness that is associated with being just, without sin. Because if you're unjust, you're living in sin. If you're just, you're not living in sin. Let's continue. Let me read verse 6 again. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And by the way, righteousness needed to be imputed unto them without works, because we know that in the days of Abraham there was no law. No law. In Romans chapter 5 verse 13 it says, until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there's no law. In Abraham's day, Abraham wasn't a sinner, even though he was sinning. Why? Because God was not reckoning sin to Abraham or to his seed up till the days of Moses. Because that's when sin was revealed, basically in the world. Now there were sin in the garden, so forth, and the Lord did not, and of course Cain killed Abel and so forth, but the point is this, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Now, what does it mean to impute this righteousness? Well, I believe we find it in verses 7 and 8 of Romans 4, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now this is dealing with Abraham. And what I'm associating these verses, Romans 4, 6, 7, and 8, is that of Abraham being declared just. Because we know that Abraham lived by faith. And so, for Abraham to live by faith, he had to be declared just. And that's the blessedness that David spoke about, was God did not impute sin to Abraham. He was not guilty of lawlessness. And his iniquities were covered. And God did not impute sin. So he was just. So when you read in verse 9 about Abraham being reckoned just, it says, cometh this blessed upon them, or then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for or leading to righteousness. Abraham was reckoned just so that he could live by reckoned faith. And all of this has to be reckoned or counted. Why? Because Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, nor the law dealt with. That's the reason why you're finding all of these reckonings in Romans 4. And they apply to the Gentiles too, because they also receive the righteousness which is of faith that they weren't looking for, because they knew that they were not in line for it. Now, let's continue. In Romans chapter 3, verse 30, we're both reckoned and sustained by faith. seeing it is one God which justifieth the circumcision by or out from reckoned faith. In other words, He will justify the circumcision. Who are the circumcision? The nation of Israel. Who are they? They are the ones that were under the law. They are the ones who were shut up unto faith. And they will be justified by reckoned faith. And that was before the law was nailed to the tree. And uncircumcision, that is to Gentiles. What does this mean? There was a time when only the nation of Israel could qualify to rule and reign from the heavens. And then that door was opened by Peter when he was in Cornelius' house, that the Gentiles could rule and reign with the Jews from the heavens. And he continues here, and uncircumcision through faith. In other words, God is going to justify the circumcision out of faith and the uncircumcision through faith. What is the significance of this? Well, it's not easy to grasp, but the circumcision were justified by reckoned faith. Where we Gentiles, as well as the Jews now, because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, our justification will be based upon the word through is the Greek word dia, meaning by means of faith. Well, that's sustained faith. In other words, Gentiles have to continue in the faith. Old Testament saints did not have to continue in the faith because they didn't have it. It was reckoned to them. But to you and to me, we need to continue faithfully in the faith, being Gentiles. That's the reason why the uncircumcision through faith are being justified. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, we see that Paul was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. How do we enter the kingdom? By faith. And we enter the kingdom by faith because that makes our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, which is the righteousness of being obedient to the law. And by the way, God expected them to do that. The moral law as well as the ceremonial law. Today, we are expected to keep the moral law to be just. And we need to continue in the faith. It tells us in 1 Timothy 4:1 that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. You know what? If you depart from the faith, you're no longer pleasing God and you will not be approved. You will not receive the righteousness which is of faith if you fail to continue in faith. And you can. You can quit. Plenty of people quitting today. In fact, it says in the latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines that don't support or are not supported by the Scriptures. Now, we need to obey in obedience does lead to righteousness. What kind of righteousness does it lead to? It leads to the righteousness of not of faith, but of the moral law. Let's just read in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, is servants ye are to whom ye obey? Present active. Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. That is, being just. If you are obedient to the law, the moral law, you will be just. That's what this is talking about. This is not talking about being obedient and becoming and getting the righteousness which is of faith. Obedience comes first, then faith comes next. Okay? Now, believing and confessing. in Romans chapter 10, verses 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This passage of Scripture here is not talking about being born again or being born from above. And the reason I know that is because the word believeth is in the present tense. And that means it's an ongoing thing. It's not an event. Believe in the aorist tense, like in the Philippian jailer, that's an event. This is an ongoing believing. It's in the present tense. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle of believing, trusting. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You be faithful, you will have the righteousness which is of faith. And with the mouth confession. This is a continual thing. This is not an event either. We're continually confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. He is in charge. We're crying, Abba, Father, all the time. And if we will believe present active and confess present active, all of this will lead to the so great salvation that is referred to in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. That's what we're looking for, the so great salvation of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Because this is not the common salvation, it can't be the common salvation, because this has to do with ongoing activity. Now, in verses 31 and 32 of Romans 9, it tells us that Israel did not reach that righteousness which is of faith. And I'll read that so we can have that before us. It says, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness." Why? The word wherefore is a question mark. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, as it were, by the word of the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. In other words, Israel did not attain or arrive at the righteousness which is of the law because they stumbled. They had the righteousness which is of the law, but they did not participate in the righteousness which is of faith, and they stumbled. And by the way, they were appointed to this. This was their appointment. Not all, but most. This doesn't mean that they were not saved, because they were. When Jesus came, He came to save people, to present the mysteries of the kingdom. But here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Unto you were therefore which believe," present active, "He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient." And that's the problem with the nation of Israel. They were disobedient. They rebelled against doing the will of God. And by the way, let me just say this. 1 Peter is written to Gentiles. 1 Peter is written to strangers and the sojourners. 1 Peter is written to Gentiles. When it says, "Unto you Gentiles, therefore, which believe, He is precious. But unto them, Israel, which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them," that is the nation of Israel, "which stumbled at the word, being disobedient." And that's in the present tense. They kept on disobeying God, disobeying the prophets, whereunto they also were appointed. This was their appointment. So this cannot deal with salvation. This just simply means that they will not qualify to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what about the Gentiles? 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. "But ye, strangers, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Gentiles who are just and living by faith are known as the people of God. They are a peculiar treasure to the Lord. Why? Because they're pleasing Him. They're living for Him. And so we need to be encouraged to do likewise. And then in closing, in verse 33 of Romans 9, it says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. We can either be encouraged and refreshed by the rock, or we can be offended by Him. And if we're offended by Him, He will deny us. If we get the water that comes from the rock, we will be refreshed and renewed. And we are refreshed and renewed from the rock by believing in the present tense. But because the word believeth in this verse is in the present tense, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed or disgraced or humiliated being offended. If you stumble and fall and quit, you will be disgraced before the Lord and others. You will be asked to leave His presence. And so in Romans chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto so great salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. It takes believing, it takes confession, and that will provide for approval. And you stop believing and you stop confessing, you will stumble and you will be ashamed. May God help us to appreciate the fact that we need to be faithful in two areas of our life. One is being clean, being godly. Secondly, being faithful in trusting Him, in believing Him. In other words, living by faith in preparation for the hope of glory. May God help us to see the value and the blessings that God has provided us as Gentiles, that the nation of Israel did not accept. Father, I just pray that You would take these thoughts that have been presented and put them together in a way in our own thoughts that makes these verses meaningful to us. We thank You, Father, for making it possible for us to stand in Your presence approved and not be disgraced. We pray, Lord, that You'd help us to trust You and to live for You and to honor You with our lives by being obedient and godly and faithful to You in these last days and not departing from the faith. For these things we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.